and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This is our penultimate episode, number 249, and we're talking about the second album from Twisted Teens from New Orleans. It's called Blame the Clowns, and the first song is It Real? A core group of two people from New Orleans, Caspian Halliwell, who does vocals and pretty much everything except the pedal steel, and then Razor, the Razor, Ramon Santos, who does the pedal steel. And then they have other folks who play, like, for example, Melrose Billiard does lead guitar on some of the songs, including this one. And, you know, they obviously have touring band members. But I became aware of them because Mike Kroll, who is a favorite of the show, has decided that they are his new favorite band. And so he's been posting about them. And this album is surprisingly fully formed for a band that kind of has come out of nowhere. And this is only their second record.
Yeah, it's really something because I listened to this not knowing the Mike Kroll connection, but this sound, you know, is so in his wheelhouse of just fuzzed out so extremely. And then it's, you know, really warm and melodic, but noisy, noisy, noisy at every turn, which is why it is so weird that it is, that is a bit of an evolution for them, that their first record is, you kind of don't expect that. You expect the first record is going to be kind of rough edge and then it'll clean up. The first record actually sounds a lot cleaner than this. But I think they very, you know, unexpectedly realized that, oh, if we embrace this fuzz, it actually brings so much more life to the sound and without impacting it. Like it still works. It's so melodic. And I love the vocals and everything being so kind of noised out, especially. And then to hear this almost otherworldly pedal steel. It shouldn't work. And I know that's a bit of a cliche, I feel like, but it sets them aside. It's a unique sound that is really appealing.
And it's such a lively, melodic guitar line. There's so much energy in this song that it's the fuzzed out kind of production, which I usually don't like, I think works for the whole of the song.
Yeah. And so from this, where we established the template for the record on the first on this first song, but I think we do go in kind of different directions that are maybe a little sweeter on the next track. It's called Wild Connection. Oh, we heard tarot card, show her animal in the yard and ask her several questions, show my attention. After hearing Caspian growling and barking, hearing him almost crooning, except crooning after gargling a bunch of gravel. Like, it's really quite something.
But he has a really lovely voice, and it almost sounds kind of like Elvis. You know, it's very low and rock and roll-y.
Yeah, but it's, I feel like, again, like a lot of these, I mean, Elvis's voice was sweet and carried, and this is, there's an earnestness to it, and it is pretty, but it, the edges are not at all sanded off
in a way that
is really appealing. And I think the song structure comes into more of a groove. Like on that first track, I think there was a certain amount of, I'm still on the fence of what would I call the verse and what would I call the chorus there. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is very clearly, this is a verse, this is a chorus. The chorus has wild connection repeated over and over again. And each time you're feeling this stronger, it's like his emotion, like, oh my God, I'm just feeling these feelings and I need to sing about it. And it's so charming and unfussed up, and it's not longer than it needs to be. Like this is a short album of short songs. And they're also
rollicking. They've all got great movement to them. And this, we included the drum fills here because this song has a guest drummer, Howie P. But I think the drumming throughout is very energetic and lively, and these songs just move. They're just very, they're kind of rockabilly punk, and they've got a lot of, to your point, they're fast and they don't stay too long.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the efficiency. And the next track goes into, I think, a different kind of, it's a very,
these songs are very different.
Yeah, let's just play it. It's called Little Seed.
Heartwarming song. It starts out with the concept of, you know, driving around in your van and throwing seeds out the window, and then you come back and the field is blooming, and then moving that into the concept of sowing seeds, as in like making, you know, doing nice things for people and like creating relationships. And it's just such a sweet, like heartwarming, earnest song that just makes me happy. And that weird little synth line just makes the whole thing.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels, yeah, very toy piano like. And yet there is both extreme goofiness here with those sort of backing vocals that sound like samples from some movie from 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, the vocal style is like,
whoa, Nelly.
People don't talk like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny. And, you know, as much as it is so bright and hopeful, there are sort of these dark tinges where it's like talking about little seed. I see it growing into a choking weed. And then another one like, oh, I see the seed growing into the apple, into an apple tree. And that's nice. And it's like in the Bible. And it's like
in the Garden of Eden.
Like in the Garden of Eden. Sorry, I misremembered. But it's like, oh, so even it's like, so it's positive. But even then there's like, it might be a weed, or it might be the fruit of knowledge, which is, you know, some people think it's a good thing and some people think it's a bad thing. What is your perspective on religion? But it is, there's depth here, as long with the silliness and the earnestness, and that it all is in the song under 3 minutes with such crazy instrumentation and structurally nuts. Like, I feel like this is one where, yeah, the chorus at the very beginning and the very end of the song, and then all of this weird, you know, takes a journey in between. And yeah, these songs don't give you a lot of room to rest, even though they feel so warm. They're not always 100% comfortable, because I feel like they're just always kind of changing gears and doing things in a strange order in a way that I find really delightfully, you know, I enjoy that surprise.
Yeah, and the pedal steel just ties all the songs together. That gives them such a unique flavor that you don't usually hear pedal steel in these kind of like punk, like countrified punk songs. And that's just, it's such an unusual combination of instrumentation that's what gives this band such a unique sound.
Yeah. So from here we go to the song that is $100 bill is gone, or $100 bill is gone.
The dollar sign is missing on the title.
So yeah, we'll leave that as an interpretation for the listener.
$100 bill is gone.
Been working every night, shoveling snow till light, getting dusted off the windowsill. Now you're paying off the energy bill. Disappear on the corner and I've been waiting way too long. You disappear on the corner and I've been waiting way too long. Bought some Indian reed that said
so much into its short running length. You've got so many verses, like multiple stages of pre-chorus and vocals that are so buzzed out, you know, that in I think a lot of the songs I can pretty much follow along, and here it's little hints of, okay, this $100 bill, oh, you're just working really hard. I think maybe there's an it might be about spending money on drugs. I don't 100% know, but it's you feel it.
He's really pushing his voice too, and I think it's competing with what's a really kind of a really deep mix of different instruments. Like there's the flanger on the guitar, and then you've like the pedal steel always throughout, and like kind of a lot. There's another guest, the same guest guitarist who was on the first song, Is It Real? And just a lot of instrumentation that's layered in there that makes it, it's a deceptively complicated song.
Yeah. We have this catchy chorus, $100 bill is gone. And if you just kind of, you can walk away from it and remember that and think like that was catchy and then dig in. I'd love to, I cannot find any lyrics for this. Maybe I need to dig deeper. And they're a band that's still kind of on the rise. So it's not like there's an army of people trying and failing on various crowdsourced lyric sites.
Well, and that's the problem with kind of fuzzy production too, is sometimes you can't always hear the lyrics, but I assume that is an intentional choice.
Exactly. We are left to project ourselves and hear what might be there. And we're left with this feeling of vague anxiety and yet so much energy that let's just keep going and plow through the rest of the album and kind of pivot into the second half, where we start to hear a little more darkness, I think, creeping into the sound, and it's feeling a little more intense maybe on this next track. It's called Not Real.
A hungry ghost tries to drain life from others. With such people you'd rather not bother. Trust your gut, not your heart, because these ghosts want to take it apart. Not real, not yet. Remember this about as close as you can. Not real, not yet. Got to remember when to make you forget. Wake the fuck up. Not real.
Bandcamp page for this record, at the very bottom, it says, "Resist psychic death." And this song is all about kind of societal pressure to not be real and suppress your emotions and not act in a way that's consistent with who you are. And I feel like that's the spirit you feel running through this whole album. This is someone with a very unique voice and a group of people who play together that want to support that very unique voice. And if there's anything that I can say about this album is that it's very real.
Yeah, it's sort of a fun, you know, the first track is it real? And then this track says it's not. And yet the entire song is telling you, hey, everyone's being fakes, but you don't have to be. And after, you know, me just talking about, like, especially on $100 Bill Is Gone, how, oh, it's so fuzzed out, I don't even know what's happening here. Here, like, the lyrics are pretty clear and weirdly specific and almost analytical. It's like people are in conflict avoidance and conditional acceptance. It's like, oh, there's a lot of psycho speak here. And yet it's really true that, like, if you don't conform and you don't just pretend to be happy, you're going to get punished.
And these sort of dark verses with a little bit more minor key melodics are then paired with this very major key, almost upbeat chorus that if you didn't listen to the lyrics, I would feel like this is a very upbeat, fun song.
Yeah. But it is. I mean, those choruses are about, like, yeah, that stuff's not real. But yeah, it's sort of the inverse. It's like the what's not said is, like, you don't have to be that way. And that after this entire album is so fuzzed out, the one thing that is clearly produced is that phone alarm coming, like, ding, 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 like, oh, whoa, it's so surprising.
Which, it's the Find My iPhone sound. It's not an alarm, and that drives me crazy.
It makes it all the more curious and, like, wait, what? Did someone lose a phone? And yet, and yeah, just wake up and be real for once. And so it is life affirming, and I think it's dark, but with fair that enough sense of, like, yeah, you really do have to just get out there and don't tune out the noise, just wake up and be yourself. It's a beautiful message. And from here
we go to the next song, which is sort of the title track. It's called Circus Clown.
Charming. It has this groovy garage rock kind of 60s spy movie groove happening at the beginning, and then when the pedal steel comes in, it turns into something else, and these vocals come in, and it's this insane chorus that's just shouted circus clown. It's the most stripped down chorus you could imagine, and then coming into this lovely lyrics that are kind of this nice inversion of don't hit the player, hit the game. And it's just like, no, I don't blame the circus, I blame the clown. And then this very, like, this great metaphor of what seems to have been a pretty bad relationship of being kind of jerked around on your strings. And so it's really, I just love how much is packed into this little song.
I also love the fact that the pedal steel sounds so almost like a Hawaiian song. It reminds me a lot of Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny. And it's just such a different voicing of the pedal steel that we've heard on any of these other songs. And it brings so much character.
Yeah, I find this completely, yeah, it is, it's the title track, which is great, Blame the Clown. And it is, you know, in the heart of the record and really getting to like deep emotion and shadings of emotion and saying you can be emotional and still be having a silly fun time and it, at a breakneck pace.
Yeah, the almost surf rock sounding guitar makes it, it adds to the fun, especially with that, like you said, kind of like a 60s almost, also surf rocky drums. It's weird that there's no consistently credited drummer because I think the drums on this whole record are pretty great.
Yeah, although a lot of them sound super synthetic like a drum machine, but...
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, but it's a blast.
The next song is called Hurricane. That about the synthetic drums, I do think the drums sound very synthetic on this song. Maybe not all of them, but anyway, what got me about this song is that it really kind of it brings you back to the fact that this is a band from New Orleans who've seen a lot of devastating hurricanes, and even though it's kind of an upbeat, a rollicking song, there's that drone of the. I don't know if it's the bass or like the low end of the guitar, but this drone that kind of goes throughout the whole song and gives it a very unsettling quality.
Yeah. I wasn't honestly sure when it opens, it feels like an explosion, like the storm coming through and knocking stuff over.
Like thunder.
And yeah, exactly. And it almost, I wondered if that drone there was the pedal steel being passed through a bunch of effects because I feel like so many of these songs are fuzzed out guitar and then the pedal steel is relatively clean slicing one might say like a razor through the sound, and I feel like this is the one song where that's inverted and you have a really fuzzed out kind of smooth pedal steel sound and then the guitar is relatively sharp at least at that opening before I think we return to the usual pattern for the rest of the song. And these great lyrics about the, you know, now the power's out and from power we are saved, and this almost sense of salvation in the destruction, even though I feel like it gets darker and darker, but still there's, you get the sense of like we're trying to find transcendence even in this catastrophe.
I feel like that's some of the spirit of this record and both of their records, actually, of just kind of creating a lot of noise and energy and rock music, and that is what gets us through, kind of, you know, the way that a hurricane is full of energy and maybe a little bit destructive, but it's what keeps you in touch with what is real, to call it back to the earlier song.
For sure.
So we're going to do something a little weird where we're going to switch up the last two songs and we're going to talk about the last outro song, which is called Corpse Pose, first, and then we'll talk about the penultimate song. This is just a very short, weird instrumental piece.
Love that this band that could play this southern blues country rock, guitar, garage rock, punk can then pivot and throw in this little track that feels like an outtake from kind of mid-period Radiohead. And it's unexplained. It's not even included on the album. I mean, if you go to Bandcamp, and yet it's just this charming, what?
Yeah, and like especially weirdly, if you, as you said on their Bandcamp page, it's not included on the Bandcamp album, but the credits are where synths and percussion are specifically credited to Cameron Snyder. So yeah,
and no vocals, but like weird backwards masked voices that are just deeply disturbing. And after everything that came before, just very strange.
Usually at the end of a yoga session, you do corpse pose. And that's when you kind of meditate and think about the fact that like once at some point your body will be in a corpse and be returned to the earth. And I like that they have that at the end of the album.
This album definitely sounds like most yoga classes for sure. So it's a fantastic revelation for me. Just so delightful. And we are lucky enough that they are coming to the Bay Area on March 11th. Yeah, they're actually not headlining, but at the Stork Club in Oakland, they're playing second of three bands. So a chance for folks to check them out.
And it'll be interesting because they just got a Best New Music from Pitchfork. So I wonder if that place will be packed and no one will be there to see the other two bands. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's sold out yet. We'll see how long that lasts.
But Oakland is very far away.
It's not far away from Oakland.
So the last song that we're going to play is called White Hot Coal. And it's another just real rollicking gem.
I think there's maybe like accordion in there. It almost has a Zydeco vibe. Leaning into the New Orleans sound.
Yeah, that's one thing I understand about the music scene in New Orleans is that there's a lot of different, you know, there's so much musical history that there's a lot of different influences that you don't get anywhere else. So we'll go out with that. It's called, again, White Hot Coal. And we've been discussing the second album from Twisted Teens called Blame the Clowns. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thank you so much for listening.
In the center of a ticking bomb. In the center of a wrecking ball.
Member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.